And just like that, mortars began falling around us. I'm not sure how close to us they were. I just know every time one impacted, I felt the ground under the tank shake, which to me meant they were too close. Surprisingly, Hoopty and his squad stayed right next to us instead of taking immediate cover.
"Hoopty, you still there?"
Blanchard asked.
"Yeah,"
he responded.
"But I think we're gonna go find a quiet place to hang out until this is over."
"Yeah, brother, go on,"
Blanchard said.
"Don't worry about us, we're built for this. Take care of your boys and we'll see you in a bit."
Truth be told, tanks aren't built for that. Direct fire we can handle, but the top of the turret was the least armored part. While I've never heard of an incident, I'm told that a mortar round to the top of the turret probably wouldn't kill us, but it would do significant damage. It also was very unlikely that they'd hit us, since the enemy had very poor aiming skills. Unless the mortars were coming in too close during attacks like this, it was safer for tanks to sit still. The Iraqis didn't really know how to fire them accurately, and moving around could put us in the middle of their target zone. They usually only fired 5 or 6 rounds before running away anyway, so it would be over soon enough. If they weren't too close to us to begin with, we'd just hang out and wait. As per normal, it was over after 6 rounds, probably less than a minute. If the insurgents had someone spotting for them, I doubt they could see well enough to walk round onto one of the tanks. Time seemed to be non-existent during the first 2 days of Steel Curtain. I'm not sure if 30 minutes or 5 hours passed between when the mortars finished falling and all the tanks were called to the central street in the 440. In either case, that's where we ended up. In the heart of the 440 were a block of houses. Grunts had been taking fire from them for some time, and 2-1, now fully aware of what tanks were built for, called us up to take care of business. We all got in line in a vacant lot adjacent to the houses. And in less than a minute, we fired 5 or 6 120-millimeter rounds each and leveled the entire city block. After the buildings were down, we used our thermals to look through the rubble and fire to see if anyone had survived this onslaught. On the right side of my area, I saw something moving and I quickly targeted it.
"I got movement," I reported to Blanchard.
"Keep on it, stand by," Blanchard said. "Fire if it appears to be a threat."
It was hard to tell exactly what it was, since the fire was washing out my thermals. But there was something alive, and it was moving. If it was a person, he or she was low to the ground, and moving quickly. Given the onslaught of high-explosive tank rounds we just fired, whoever it was had to be injured, but didn't appear to be so. Moving so quickly and so low to the ground didn't seem to fit the action of an injured person. "It's a threat," I thought as I indexed the coax. My adrenaline pumped as I lined up my sights and prepared to fire. The target had stopped moving and I began to squeeze the trigger.
"It's a fucking cat," Blanchard yelled, grabbing his override so I couldn't fire.